You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of the Critical Mass Radio Show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. And if you're tuning in today to listen to my interview with Mona Lisa Ferris of Olive Tree Publishing, well, then just hold on because she'll be joining the radio program in about 15 to 20 minutes. And so stay tuned because we have an interesting conversation before we get to Mona. And I say it's interesting because we're going to do something a little bit different here today on Critical Mass, the radio show. You know, this program is brought to you live here on octalkradio.net. The goal of the show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better and more informed business decisions. I would like to thank our sponsors today, Smart Business Magazine and Succession Strategies, for sponsoring the program. The reason why it's interesting, at least this first part, I know the second part with Mona Lisa will be very interesting, but why the potential for the first segment on the show today is interesting is because we're going to flip the chairs, as it were, and we're going to bring out from behind the glass screen our producer, and this is always dangerous, our producer, Paul Roberts, and Paul is going to be the interviewer for the first 15 minutes of the show. And he's going to be asking his guest, Richard Franzi of Critical Mass, the radio show, some questions. So, Paul, I'd like to turn the mic over to you and ask you to be the host.
You sure you want to do this now?
Let's begin.
Once I take the mic, I may never relinquish it here. Well, I just really wanted to ask you some questions and bring to everybody's attention a new development in the Critical Mass Media Division. I know that when you originally started your consulting firm with Doug Gefeller, your partner, you guys focused on one-to-one communications, you worked on individual coaching sessions, you worked on individual peer groups that business people can join to learn from one another, and then this radio show came as an extension of that, another way to connect people and to collect ideas and share them with people here. And I'm excited and interested to know more about the next extension. You've now been asked to take your radio show and turn it into a TV show. Tell us about that a little bit.
I'm excited to have the opportunity to expand the media division of Critical Mass for Business by virtue of bringing Internet TV. Yes, we started with Internet radio, and now we're going to be moving to Internet TV. And, you know, the concept behind the TV show is slightly different than the radio program because, as you know, Paul, because you're going to be our producer for the TV show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Here for the radio show is the fact that we're going to be doing Internet TV opens up new opportunities for us to do more with the medium than we've been able to do here with the radio show. What I mean by that very simply is we're going to be doing in-depth interviews with CEOs and business leaders, just like we do here in many ways on Critical Mass, the radio show. What we're going to be doing in addition to that is we're going to be traveling to their site, and we're going to be visiting with these leaders within their own company's facilities, giving our audience an opportunity not only to hear and see the CEO and business owner, but also have an opportunity to get some exposure to what's going on behind the scenes of their business by virtue of us being able to video that environment and then bring it to them here on Critical Mass, the TV show.
So it really just adds another dimension to the interview. You not only get to talk to them about what's working or what's not working in their business or whatever specific questions you want to focus on for that series, but you get a chance to see behind the scenes what's going on. What kind of businesses are you envisioning for this show? Is it the same type of businesses or is it something different?
Well, as you know, there's an arc to the program. We've had an arc for the 3 years this month, actually, and you were our first guest on Critical Mass, the radio show, in March 2nd of, 3 years ago.
Wow, it's been that long. Wow.
We've had over 400 guests on this show, on Critical Mass, the coaching perspective, the show hosted by my business partner, Doug Gefeller, and then on our nationally syndicated show, Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Over 400 guests have appeared on the program. Weren't really sure when we started the radio program how deep and broad would able to be able to get in the Orange County business community, but those numbers suggest that we've been able to really get a good representative cross-section.
Amazing cross-section.
I think we're going to do we will do similar things with the TV show over time. Initially, my interest and focus and what I've heard from our community of business leaders, as well as the team that's I'm working with to put the shows together, is that we're going to focus initially for the first series of shows on manufacturing companies here in Orange County, specifically around some of the topics that we've heard in the national media relative to job creation in the manufacturing sector, bringing jobs back from overseas, and what's required to remain competitive as a manufacturing company here in Orange County, California.
So what'll make this TV show different from the radio show? Is it that you just get to see behind the scenes? Is it a different format? Is it a different length? Let's talk about the differences between the two.
It's going to be different from the radio show in a number of ways. And what's even more exciting, Paul, is it's going to be different than anything else that's in the market today.
Absolutely.
On any broadcast medium, whether it's cable, whether it's HDTV, whether it's internet, there is nothing like this show in the market today focused on Orange County business leaders and the businesses they run, doing the kind of show that we plan to do for Critical Mass TV. Same could almost be said for Critical Mass, the radio show. There really is no other show like this very show here in the market today.
Certainly not. So what have you learned from doing the radio show for 3 years? What have you learned out of that experience that you're going to bring to this new experience?
Great question. I've learned quite a lot from doing the radio show. I didn't expect – one of the benefits that I never expected to get from doing the radio show is the following that we have been able to develop over the 3 years of business leaders who in their very DNA are lifelong learners, who through this recession have realized the need to continue to reinvent not only themselves as leaders but their business, and how this radio program has given them an opportunity to learn from such a large cross-section of business leaders here in Orange County advice and insight and hear their experiences that they then, in our listening audience, can bring into the context of how they make business decisions. I think with the TV show, we're going to be able to take that level of connectivity between the audience and the individual guests to an entirely deeper level because, as you know, Paul, having been in the media for as many years as you have been in, the opportunity to bring the pictures along with the words can really make a deeper relationship happen between our audience and our guests.
So how long do you think these programs will be? Your radio show runs roughly 50 minutes. Will this be the same length or shorter?
The shows will be shorter initially, focused on a tighter series of questions, if you will. And we're really in the beginning with the Critical Mass TV show looking to focus with, as I said earlier, manufacturing companies on a couple key topics that are really dominating, if you will, some national media, and I'm very excited about it, which is the strength of the manufacturing sector in the country and in Orange County in particular. What does that mean from job creation? And also, what does that mean from dealing with the strong trend that has been in place, which is to take jobs and relocate them out of Orange County and even out of the United States. And now we're seeing signs of jobs coming back into the United States. And I really want to understand what's happening here in the Orange County business community.
That has got to be one of the hot topics this election cycle. Everybody on the left or right loves to say, we're going to bring jobs back to America. But I seldom hear how they're going to do it, other than they're going to somehow, you know, they're going to cut regulations, cut taxes, some other things. But I don't know that that's what drove jobs away or manufacturing away altogether. Do you have any sense of what you're going to find here when you look at Orange County manufacturing? Is it robust? Is it shrinking? Is it expanding? Is it changing in different ways? Do you have any preconceived images of what you're going to find?
Well, as I've met with the development team and putting the concept of this show together and beginning to do the research for the target list of identified firms in Orange County that I want to interview on the radio program, I am amazed, frankly, at the number of manufacturing companies that are located here in Orange County. And sure, there are large companies that we can, the people can think of, but the real focus for this show, for the TV show, just like the radio shows that we do, are those mid-market, small and mid-market businesses, which are really understood to be the job creation engines in this economy. The number of manufacturers that are here in Orange County are in the thousands, and we're going to be looking at those very carefully to make sure we bring to the program a real representative view of what manufacturing, the state of manufacturing, is today here in Orange County. Now, I don't want to mislead our audience, the people that are listening either live here today or in the future, maybe on a podcasting service like iTunes or Stitcher or one of the other services we use. We're not just only going to be interviewing manufacturing companies on Critical Mass TV, but initially the first series of shows will be around that, just because, as you said, Paul, it is really such a key topic that's going on in our national media. I want to bring that to a very local level here in the Orange County business world.
And I think it makes sense to utilize the medium in a different way. This is a different medium. Get to show images with the conversations. So why not focus on very visual kind of businesses, which would be manufacturing? I think it's timely. I think it's topical. And I think it's an interesting add-on to what you're already doing here.
The production crew, I've met with the production crew that we're going to be using, because the Critical Mass TV requires a little heavier production team than, as you know, the Critical Mass radio show series do.
Absolutely, a lot. You got to have lighting, you got to have sound, you got to have some, you got to set up a bunch of equipment, particularly if you're going to go do it remotely here. So you've assembled not just a one or two person team, but a group of people to help you execute this.
And we have state of the art equipment. We're going to be delivering strong quality video, high definition video, very good audio in a professional setting that will really make sure that our audience isn't distracted by the fact that it's TV, internet TV over internet radio, but will be able to focus in like a laser on what our guests are talking about so that they can get a maximum set of understandings from those individuals. They can convey their message as my guest on the medium in a way that is really powerful. And while it's one to many, as we've learned here on the radio show, internet TV has the same potential to be really a one-to-one conversation between the guest and the listener in the audience.
I think that's what I'm really excited about, is the opportunity to participate in something just as we did here on the radio, where we're trying to replicate the same high standards of traditional broadcasting, but do it in an internet forum. Just as we've tried to, and I think we've successfully, turned these radio shows into professional productions, not just a podcast out of your bedroom. In the same sense, I look forward to the opportunity to turn these TV shows into very, what would you say, visually appealing snippets of these businesses, so that you're not focusing on the crummy production values instead of the message. You're really able to focus on what they're saying and what they're doing, and not the fact that it's some handheld YouTube video here.
Not at all. We've made a conscious decision to invest in production-grade equipment, the camera, the lighting, all the set. The people that will be running the equipment are
pros. You got pros here.
People.
You got right. Real people. So, all right, well, let's take a quick commercial break and come back and talk about this some more, because I think this is an exciting development for those of us interested in internet mediums like this one. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
Welcome back to this special edition of Critical Mass, the radio show, as we talk about the newest incarnation, Critical Mass, the television show. I'm pretty jazzed about it. You're holding up, the audience can't see it because it's radio, but you're holding up all the newest equipment. Tell us about that camera you got. That's pretty slick looking stuff here.
Well, the production team did a lot of research and basically came down to we wanted to have a very portable but yet professional setup. And there's a new introduction to the market from Canon, a very recognized name in optics and video quality. And
one of the top brands in prosumer and professional video equipment.
And this is a prosumer camera. It is the size of many consumer products, which intrigued us and the development team, production team. But it has the audio capability through its, you know, very high quality XLR inputs to give us really good audio, which was important to me because I wanted to make sure that in addition to good quality video, we had really good audio that goes along with the interview. So the lighting system, this state of the art camera, which has been used by production crews and film crews to make movies and documentaries, etc., will put us on a level of many small market TV and independent film producers. So I'm quite excited about the level of investment that we've made in the equipment, and now I just want us to get out and start using it and start getting it.
Yeah, production. And I think we'll discover that there are different applications for that medium. You know, obviously it's visual, so starting with manufacturing makes sense. You get to show what's behind the story, which isn't always possible as we use this theater of the mind here, as we use this medium here. I think this medium is a very intimate medium. It's great for conversations, and it's amazing how people open up during these conversations, particularly under your questioning. I think you seem to have a knack of bringing things out of people that always amaze me. Not just bad stuff or startling stuff, but you know, insights, real thoughtful answers. And I think that adds to the value of the content, the program that we create. So I'm looking forward to how that applies to video setting. You know, what kind of things will the picture, what type of stories will the pictures tell? Every picture tells a story. Wasn't that a Rod Stewart song?
Yes, it was.
There you go.
Rod Stewart and the Faces, I think. Okay. All right.
So how do people get in touch with you if they want to participate in this early phase? Are you taking applications, slots? How are you lining up guests for this?
Great question. Yes, we are. Obviously, we're looking at our list of past radio show guests as a natural place to begin the process for future television show guests. Mm-hmm. And we have we're in conversation with a number of potential guests that way. I'm also interested in any mid-market, small and mid-market manufacturing company that has a story to tell, and that story is around being a competitive manufacturing company, employing people here in Orange County. That's what I want to understand.
That's the storyline you're exploring here at first, and to go in. And I think not just the fact that manufacturing exists. I don't know that there's lots of manufacturing in Orange County. I suspect there is, but I don't see it. It isn't like when I grew up in Detroit, everywhere we went, there were giant manufacturing facilities here. So I suspect that if the manufacturing that exists is different than the kind of big industrial production plants that you saw in Pittsburgh or I saw in Detroit when we were growing up as kids, it's probably more high-tech. It's probably more robotics. It's probably more specialized. It's probably more unique. But we'll find out. I don't know. Maybe there's something big that we're not aware of going on here.
Exactly, and that's the point of the program. So to reach me, very simply, critical. Our website is www.criticalmass, M-A-S-S, 4-F-O-R, critical-mass-for-business.com. Critical-mass-for-business.com. My contact information is on there. I can be reached directly at the following number, 949-887-4104. And if you want to talk to me through any of our social media outlets, I have a Twitter page at CEO Peer Groups. We also have a Facebook fan page. So we are using multiple networks and channels to reach our audience of lifelong learners, business leaders here in the Orange County marketplace.
I know that you were recently nominated, I'm going to make you blush here, for the Ernst & Young, I think it's the Entrepreneur of the Year Award that they got you up for this year. Pretty amazing company. And from what I understand, the reason that you were nominated was specifically your innovative use of technologies to get your message out and the whole innovative model that you're trying to bring forth to the business community here locally and nationally. That idea of let's not operate independently anymore. Let's somehow circle the wagons and share ideas and information. Let's help each other somehow through these redefining moments in our economy here. Can you talk about any of that or all of that, or is that still too top secret to talk about here?
Well, it's a matter of public record, yes.
Okay. I don't want to curse your chances to win or anything here by talking about it, you know.
But the other side of it is that the Orange County Business Journal has an annual competition, if you will, awards luncheon for excellence in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. The next one is March 21st for this year, for 2012. And Doug, my business partner, and I have been nominated for that award as well, the Orange County Business Journal Excellence in Entrepreneurship. So it's really great to begin to be recognized for the kind of work that we're doing here in the county. It is really all for the benefit of our listening audience and for those leaders of businesses out there who feel maybe isolated or unable to find people who see the world the way they do. I believe experience is the best teacher in life and in business, but some business lessons are best learned vicariously through the examples and experiences of other business leaders.
Yeah, particularly the bad ones. You know, you don't want to go through some of those things and say, oh, now I understand why they don't do that anymore. Then you go bankrupt if you do that. Or
Right. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity here on my radio show, Critical Mass, the radio show, to talk about the upcoming Critical Mass TV. But I know there's a number of people that are waiting to hear for our next guest, who is Mona Lisa Ferris.
Yep.
And we're going to be getting to Mona Lisa, but Paul probably should take a commercial break. And then when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, our first real guest today on Critical Mass, the radio show, is Mona Lisa Ferris. So stay tuned. This promises to be an interesting interview. She's quite a dynamic and interesting entrepreneur and business leader.
She certainly is. We'll be right back after this. There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
The Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying by 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Unforgettable name, creative thinker, entrepreneur, sales and marketing guru, and a mentor to all is just some of the names that OC Metro's Orange County's Women Making a Difference use to refer to my next guest. It gives me great pleasure, and I'm quite excited to have Mona Lisa Ferris as our guest on Critical Mass, the radio show. Mona Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you, Rick, so much. It's an honor to be here.
Why don't we start very simply by asking you to tell us a little bit about your professional experience, sort of what we call here on the radio program, your path to your current firm.
Okay, well, actually, I haven't had a lot of jobs, oddly enough. I had gone to Cal State Fullerton, and an opportunity had come by to start this business. And what I did is I started what was kind of like a newsletter, and I started publishing a magazine called the Black EOE Journal. And about a year later, started the Hispanic Network magazine. About 5 years later, started the Professional Woman's Magazine. And as of this May, I will be publishing the U.S. Veterans Magazine, which is our fourth diversity-focused magazine.
When did you start your newsletter, Mona Lisa?
It was in 1991, and it was a newsletter because I didn't know exactly what to report on. I had an idea of what needed to be done, and basically kind of focusing just historically black colleges and universities because I knew of the diversity aspect and the minority aspect that I wanted to focus on. And shortly after, it grew, you know, very quickly because the colleges were very receptive and they started giving me more information, more editorial. And really, I had no experience, but I learned from the ground up how to do this, that for me, it's very easy to even duplicate a fifth magazine if I needed to, which I hope I don't because it's too much work.
Exactly. I am amazed by the amount of output that you and your firm are able to put into the marketplace, quality information, focused on a number of different niches, if you will. I think somewhat, especially in 1991, underserved areas of the marketplace. You were really, from what I can tell in doing the research to have you as a guest, you're a leader in this field of publications serving these readers. Is that true? I mean, am I coming at that? Am I overstating it?
I've never really looked at it like that, but I would have to say you're pretty accurate because I did see the need of diversity, especially in the workplace. But then when I just basically scratched the surface, doors opened for me everywhere I went. Invitations poured in. contacts, leads, sales just kind of exploded. And I just embraced it and learned from it and kept growing and growing to where, you know, I understand the need of it. And I think our country is getting that as well, because basically if you were to sum it up, you know, what is it that I actually do? What our magazines do and what my firm does is help diversify corporate America. But it's not just the employees. We help corporations find other small businesses that are minority-owned, veteran-owned, women-certified-owned businesses that they can work with.
I think that is such a powerful unintended consequence to some degree of what your original inspiration for doing the newsletter inspired through the colleges has become. It is a lesson for the other entrepreneurs out there who are listening to this interview today that you never know where the business can take you, but if you approach it positively with good intention and hard work, doors do open up for you if you're in the right space.
I do. I believe that. I think if you work hard and you have to have somewhat of a passion and an interest and care about what you're doing, that they will open. And for one thing, I was knocking on the doors as well, and that's another reason why they opened. When someone said, you know, will you go to this conference? And here I am. I'm not African American. I'm not even Latina. But I am a woman. I have a diverse culture and a diverse background. And walking into this conference, it was actually the National Urban League, and it was the national conference. I mean, I walked in going, what am I doing here? Are they going to accept me? You know, I've got this magazine. I don't even know how they're going to. The minute I walked in, they came up to me. They were introducing me, telling me what else can I do for you? And I just said, you know, what do you do? And then, you know, a partnership came about to where now we're at their conferences. And when you go to their, you know, conference attendee bags and open the bags, you'll see a copy of the magazine in there. And then from there, it just grew and grew and grew. But really, I didn't know, but I asked. And if I saw a client there, every year I would go to these conferences. So I did a lot of traveling, a lot of footwork in the beginning, too, that even now when I go to these conferences, they see the same person there. I mean, I have other people that travel, of course, because, you know, I got married and I had kids and I have little ones right now as much, but when I do go, some of the people that have been employed there for a long time do remember me and said, wow, you're still here. That's amazing. And I said, yeah, and I always ask them, and I'm going to get to my point now. I always ask them this question. So here's the magazine, you know, Mr. Jones or whoever it is, my dear client. I've always asked them, you know, what do you like? What do you don't like? What do you want? And a lot of times I would go back, I would take the feedback, and I'd make it happen. I'd go back to them and say, look, I did what you said. Now what? And a lot of them would say, no, I'll advertise. And the persistence paid off. But a lot of times I learned what I needed to do straight from them. And I'd go back, readjust whatever I needed to do back then. You know, there was no resume department. And, you know, when I first started, there was no internet. So it's very different now. And I just made those changes. And I went back and knocked on their door. And I can't tell you the great customers I have. They're only basically Fortune 500 companies, and a lot of them have been with me from the very beginning.
Second lesson here, teachable moment on Critical Mass, the radio show with Mona Lisa Ferris, is that if you took your first newsletter, Mona Lisa, and you put it down beside your multiple publications that you now print, they probably don't even look like they would come from the same entity.
Oh, not at all. You know, I'd love to show everybody. It's so hilarious because the first one, the font was so big because I didn't have enough editorial, and I used one individual that I had met that I was impressed with, and her photo is about as big as like a business card. Now, all the covers are only role models and celebrities. Well, like just right now for the Professional Women's Magazine, we featured the Women of the View, got quotes from, you know, Barbara Walters and the crew and the Women of the View. It's a great issue. It's come out March 15th. February, we featured Wilmer Valderrama. And let's see what else is coming up. For the U.S. Veterans Magazine, we interviewed Dennis Haysbert and Gary Sinise. And those were two outstanding interviews as well. And I do a lot of the interviews myself, so I really can ask the right questions to make sure that, you know, the connection is there between the magazine Focus and what they're doing. And it's very interesting because a lot of these celebrities are aware of what's going on and had to deal with some of these issues, and, you know, they kind of report back to us and we put it back in the magazine, so it's a good connection there. But at the same time, I use it for marketing because when these magazines are on the newsstand and Jennifer Lopez is on the cover talking about her new business venture and talking about diversity and maybe the challenges of being a woman, you know, business entrepreneur, even as famous as she is, it's something that people will want to read about because they recognize her. And a lot of my competitors, which I don't have a lot of, don't have that. So keeping that branding from the first issue, not having a recognizable person to having only a recognizable person is a huge difference, and people remember the magazine immediately.
And that is part of the teachable moment as well, is that don't wait as an entrepreneur until you have the finished product. You learn by doing in business, so start doing. You will improve it over time. You know, I know with this radio show, and earlier today on the program, Paul was talking to me about kind of the arc of this radio show over the 3 years. It is not the same show that we did the first time I interviewed Paul Roberts on the radio program 3 years ago. It has just naturally grown and evolved. And what's really powerful about what you said is your clients and potential clients had a hand in helping you build the product to what it is today in the marketplace.
It's exactly true. And that's one of the reasons why the U.S. Veterans Magazine was kind of birthed or created. It was for the same reason. A lot of these companies want to assist in finding and assisting the transitioning veterans coming back. And have all told me, you know, I'm not sure where to go. I like your setup. I like the way, you know, the magazines work. I like everything about it, but I really want to target the veterans. So I went back to the drawing board and said, okay, you know, started a business plan, the whole thing again, started putting things in motion. And from July till now, it's almost ready. It'll be out in May.
That's very exciting. We're going to take a sponsorship break, Mona Lisa. I've got three more questions in the time that I have you here on the radio program that I want to ask you. The first question that I'm going to ask you to share your experiences with the audience is a current challenge that you're facing and what you're doing to mitigate that challenge from affecting your business. So hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back with Mona Lisa Ferris, president and founder of Olive Tree Publishing, and she's going to share answers to that question and two others that I have lined up for her here on Critical Mass, the radio show. But first, here's words from our sponsors.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gaffella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Mona Lisa, could you share with us a current challenge?
Right now, you see, I just moved from Riverside to Irvine, And I don't have a high turnover. Everyone who's ever worked with me has worked with me for years. And that's been a great thing because they've really helped me move the company and made me grow and everything. And when I moved to Irvine, I had to lose some key people on the way. So my challenge right now is finding some more individuals. Recruiting has been a little bit challenging for me. And even though I'm a company that recruits people, I'm having trouble finding the right candidates for this job. And so that's my biggest challenge right now is finding them, because I had such experienced people and I have to train. And I found quite a few already, and I'm almost done. I'd say about 95% done. I still have 5% to go. And what I did was I ended up not hiring people right away. I gave everybody kind of like a one-week, what I called a test run, and I saw how they worked with everybody and how I worked with them and how open they were to training and learning. And from there, I would, after that week, I actually hired them on. Right now, I pour my heart and soul into training them because they're going to be a leg of the company, and they absolutely need to be here. And so I spend a lot of time training. I feel that's very important.
I would think so, especially you have such a successful formula. It's important to understand what the recipe is. So that makes a lot of sense. I'd like to ask you to think about a time in your professional experience where you learned a really valuable lesson, but it came from an experience that maybe was difficult or challenging to kind of get through. Do you have one of those experiences that you could share with our audience today?
I mean, I was starting the Professional Woman's Magazine, and back then I was on extremely high energy, and I just put all my eggs in one basket. I mean, everything. I couldn't even tell you. I had the largest staff you can imagine. Anything anybody suggested, I just went ahead and implemented, and I just kept growing and growing. I kind of grew almost too fast, and 9/11 hit. The next day, practically, all of my government agency clients, all the clients there, which were about 60%, all canceled, not just for the next issue, but for the whole year. And I had to restructure and rethink things, and I said to myself, no matter where I am, I will never do that again. You have to plan for that rainy day. You have to plan for that emergency, and that's how I operate right now. I have a plan A and a plan B at all times.
I enjoy asking this question because invariably when the guests have an experience that they share, regardless of how long ago that experience happened in their life, when I listen to them explain it, it feels like it just happened yesterday, and the real
Absolutely.
Power is...
It's very painful. I remember the day I had to let people go that had been with me for a while. It was the hardest week of my life. I mean, really tough.
As I've gotten to know you, I've been fascinated by business opportunities that, by virtue of who you are and how you show up, you've been able to become engaged with. You talk about corporations looking to you to help with diversity. So it's very natural that for me to ask you sort of, what's the growth opportunity for Olive Tree Publishing? Where do you see the company going? And I didn't mean to tip your hand there a little bit, but could you share a little bit with the audience a bit about how you're now viewed by the marketplace, by these large companies, just beyond also the fact that you're a publisher and you're delivering these high-content publications to the marketplace?
I think that's a really good question, Rick, because I feel as though lately, and I never realized it until I was invited to come to a local company here in Irvine that's headquartered here and needed some advice on diversity, but it was as if I was a diversity consultant. They were asking me, you know, to look at the labor statistics, to look at what they're doing in terms of their diversity strategy initiatives, the whole, you know, from the website to the different, you know, markets, whether it was Hispanic, African American, or women, and just said, I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. And this person who was just appointed, you know, this position, and they had come from a different background and said, you know, I'm not exactly sure where to start. These are what I had some ideas for. And, you know, it was interesting because I sat there and I didn't expect to be there for a couple hours. And I wasn't even I could have spoken about it for another week. And so they needed to put a budget together. They needed to put a whole, you know, focus and strategy together. But I'm proud that they, you know, are doing this and they realize that they don't have a diverse group. I mean, by the time I left, this individual had walked me down kind of the different floors and had me just walk and take a peek at the whole group and say, there's no diversity here. And my job is to make this a more diverse workplace. And I said, you're not alone. At least you've reached out to try, you know, and get the help. There's some companies that aren't as far along as others are, but I think I've become more of a diversity consultant, not just a publisher, because I know this so well. I know the reasons why, you know, people need to do what they need to do.
Mona Lisa, do you see that as a business venture for you, a formal offering to be a diversity consultant as well as a publisher now?
I do. I absolutely. I mean, I'm already asked to come and speak at different events or, you know, quoted in a couple different, you know, magazines or newspapers. But I absolutely see that as something I can do in the future and really focus on if I needed to or wanted to, which I probably can if I had just 10 more minutes in my day.
After you launch your veterans magazine, do you see opportunities for other magazines beyond what you're currently publishing?
You know, I've been approached to do a magazine focusing on assisting the disabled for a long time, and I have a lot of relationships and partnerships with a lot of the disabled-focused conferences. That could be something that could be on the pipeline down the way. I've been approached to do that as well. So there is another market out there.
It is interesting to me how when your company is doing its mission, how other people can help you grow your business by bringing their perspective. I've heard countless times on the interview today with you, Mona Lisa, how you've been open to the ideas of the people that you're serving. And that's another teachable moment for the entrepreneurs in our audience about, you don't have to come up with all the business ideas, do you? Your customers and prospects will help lead you to new business opportunities.
Absolutely. I've always been open. I think it's just part of my style. Even in my business and how I manage things, it's very unilateral. And when I talk to my clients, I do know what I'm doing, but if they have a suggestion, I really take it to heart. I'm sitting there and I'm writing it down. Sometimes my sister will just laugh at me because she'll just go, you just started writing. I won't remember about everything. I need to write this down because everything they're telling me is important. I go back and I analyze everything they say. I really believe in that customer feedback and implementing some of it. I really believe that. And if you go back to them and let them know how much you appreciated it and made some of the changes or adjustments, I think that's one of the key ways of growing and becoming really good and having success.
If someone would like to learn more about your firm and you, how do they find you online?
Well, they can go to any of the websites. They can go to professionalwomanmag.com. They can go to usveteransmagazine.com, HN, which stands for Hispanic Network Magazine.com, and the Black EOE Journal.com.
You know, I started the show by saying unforgettable name, creative thinker, entrepreneur, sales and marketing guru. And ladies and gentlemen, I think you will agree from just this short time that you've been able to spend with Mona Lisa Ferris today that all those descriptions fit her to a T. And I am so excited that you and delighted that you were a guest today on our radio program. Thank you for taking the time and welcome to our business community.
Thank you so much for having me on the radio, and I love sharing this. I really appreciate it, Rick.
Have a good day, my friend.
Thanks. Take care.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, every week on Critical Mass, the radio show, and I know I speak for my partner, Doug Gefeller, for his program, Critical Mass, The Coaching Perspective, we really try to bring you information, ideas, and guests who can share what they know with you to help you improve the quality of the decisions that you make. And so this is Rick Franzi, and I'd have to say that Mona Lisa Ferris is exactly the type of guest we like to have on the radio program. And so this is Rick Franzi saying, until the next time we have a chance to speak, here's hoping that all of your decisions move your company in a positive direction. You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show, only on OCTalkRadio.net.